Friendship with the World, James, Lesson 8. We see that friendship with the world is an even more significant threat than we saw in Lesson 7. For Christians to fight and quarrel is destructive. However, this pales in comparison to the church becoming like the world. Remember, the book of James addresses the early Christian churches. It says, to the 12 tribes in dispersion. These churches were under tremendous pressure and faced great hardship. In addition, Rome had scattered the Jews and therefore the Christians to all parts of the Roman Empire. The desire to fit in tempted them to blend into the local cultures. Being a Christian was not popular in most regions where they settled. So the pressure of society was much greater than we are seeing at this point in our history. These men and women had accepted Jesus as the Son of God. They were rejoicing in his death, burial, and resurrection. The problem was they wanted to fit into the culture in which Rome forced them to live. Faithful followers of Jesus do not fit in with the sin-driven world. We cannot be friends with the world. Jesus is our example. He took a stand against the world's religious leaders of Israel and pointed out their hypocrisy. The churches of the dispersion were joining in pagan and immoral feast. They turned away from the truths of God and followed the morals of the society in which they lived. James refers to them as adulterous people. While they did not deny Christ and claimed to be followers, they joined in the practices of other religions. Therefore, they were unfaithful to what Jesus taught. James says in James 4:4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. God always gives you a choice. You can follow him and do good works to show yourself a workman approved of God. A workman doing what is right with God does not need to be ashamed of their conduct. You're then a God-guided workman. But if you decide to be a friend of the world, God has declared you are his enemy by nature. The world constantly seeks to grow vices like greed and pride and hatred and self-promotion. The world claims the right to lie, steal, and even kill if it makes things easier for them. God's stand is the opposite. Sin is still sin. The world constantly changes the definition of sin, but God does not. Carol and I are reading through the Bible again this year. As I'm writing this, we find ourselves in Leviticus, studying the giving of the law to the Israelites. It is both complex and exciting. We can hold on to one certainty that God does not change. It is worth noting that God's law does not change. In Hebrews 13:8, says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is unchangeable. Most people like the idea of interpreting the laws of God any way they see fit, or even deciding some are wrong and do not need to follow them. They may even believe that it is okay to stand against what we find in the scripture. However, God is very clear on what is right and wrong. We do not need a civil law to tell us what sin is. By His Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we know when we break God's law. When we accept Him as Lord, He gave us the Holy Spirit to mark us for identity. This same Holy Spirit that dwells within reveals when our actions go against God. Often Christians fail to realize that God is very jealous. God wants your complete loyalty in all things. He wants a faithful bride. It is not jealousy as we see it in the world, but He is being fearfully protective of what is His. God purchased you with a price on the cross. He is unwilling to lose you to the world. You're cheating on God if you want to go your own way. If you flirt with the world in word or deed, you end as an enemy of God. Yet at times we seem to think that God does not care. James 4 and 5 says, "Or do you think Scripture says without reason that He jealously longs for the Spirit He has caused to dwell in us?" God cares about you. He has marked you as His with His Spirit. He wants you to be wholly committed to Him. Did you know that one of God's names is Jealous? God gave directions to the children of Israel about the false gods and evil actions in the land He gave them. He said in Exodus 34:14, "For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God." He knew what was best for them, and that anything apart from fellowship with Him would lead to sin. It is wise not to forget what God has said about Himself. He has a righteous jealousy. Worldly jealousy is wrong and usually rooted in sin, but godly jealousy is one of protection. For example, husbands can be jealous of their wives. Jealousy of this type is one of protection. You protect what you love and cherish. God's jealousy is one of protection also. He knows what can happen when a person becomes infatuated with the world or something in it. Pride, stubbornness, an impure heart, or being double-minded all lead to forsaking God and the plan He has for your life. God wants you in a position where He can bless you. You forsake God when you decide that your idea about what is and is not sin is correct, even believing that you have the right to determine what Scripture to accept or reject makes you a false god. If you go off seeking fame and fortune as the world sees it, you will lose your ability to serve Him. God opposes the proud. God's desire is always for our well-being. He created the world as a beautiful place for His creation to live. God gives us everything we need to be happy in Him and our life on earth. When we stumble, He is there to extend more unmerited favor. In the sixth verse, James says, "But He gives us more grace." That is why Scripture says, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." When we humble ourselves before Him, He is always ready to help us. But sadly, we often are stubborn and want to do it all our way, no matter where it leads. When we are so proud that we choose our way, God has to do something to bring us back. Just like we do to bring our children back into line with what is good for them. God opposes the proud because pride causes us to fail to listen to the wisdom he gives us in his word. At times, we do the stupidest things because we believe that we know what is best. Then we look back and wonder why we did such things. In conclusion, James moves right along in the fourth chapter. He starts with fighting and quarreling, then moves on to God's declaration that we cannot be friends with the world and himself. In lesson 9, we will deal with submitting to God in all our ways.